Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 1 of My Dog Will Eat My Face. I'm sure many of you listeners may be wondering, where in the world have I been the last, several weeks? Maybe it's been a little over a month where I've been away, so we're making the best of it, and I'm starting a whole new season to make it look as though it was planned, but it wasn't. Unfortunately, what happened over the course of the time that I was not recording was terrible. That's the word I'm going to use. Terrible. And I think just in today's first episode of the third season, I wish to discuss what exactly happened and why it was so terrible and actually terrifying and still is terrifying. It's actually become a new source of phobia that can keep me up at night sometimes for fear of events such as what happened occurring again. So, I'm sure you're all wondering, well, what was it? Was he arrested? No. Did you get a DUI or something? No, nothing like that. Was I sick? You're closer to it there. But I wasn't really sick per se. Unfortunately, I am actually very hazy with respect to what happened. Most of the events that transpired are completely blacked out from my memory. So now, perhaps you're wondering, oh, you went binge drinking, you went to Vegas and disappeared for several weeks. No, I did not binge drink, nor did I take any strange, weird drugs of any kind, like abusing prescription drugs, nor illegal street drugs. I know for a fact that I did absolutely nothing to trigger the events that transpired. And that's why it is so incredibly terrifying. But yes, I blacked out most of the events, so I'll tell you what I can recall, and all of it is nothing that I'm proud of whatsoever, to be honest. So for me to tell this story to the world, I am going to basically drop trowel for the world to see and let what judgment come, whatever may be. I will see. But it's something I do feel that I need to talk about and to explain why this podcast has been dead silent for so long. If I were to describe what happened in the shortest terms possible, is I went completely insane. And I'm not exaggerating. As far as I'm concerned, what happened was nothing less of a prolonged, weeks-long psychotic event. It's something that came out of nowhere, was not triggered by anything I did, at least nothing I can discern, nor doctors, and ended up with me being locked up in a nursing home of all places. So, with all that said, stick around for this first episode of season 3, because I'm going to try my best to explain to you what happened, even though there are many holes in my memory. A lot of it is blacked out, and some of the events that I'll share are going to be based purely upon things that others have told me. So, hang tight, and I'll tell you as best I can what exactly happened over those weeks. Now, it's actually quite difficult for me to consider how to begin discussing these events. And my problem is because there is approximately 2 weeks that I have absolutely no recollection of, completely blacked out. Except for some maybe slivers here and there, bits and pieces. So, it's hard to begin to describe nothing. But, let's just start there. First of all, I was obviously in some sort of state to where I was completely blacking out whatever it is I did. Apparently, one of the first things I did was just whimsically change my hospice home care providers. I would never, ever normally do that if I were in the right mind. So that's something that I know I did, because when I came to, it was a different provider, and I was told I made the switch. I know I don't remember doing it one bit, but clearly I did it. So that tells you right there, there's something clearly wrong with me. It's something that, in my personality type, I would never do. I'm a man of routine and habit. I'm not the kind of person who likes to just rattle things up and shake things up for giggles. I like to generally fall into a repetition that's predictable and completely reliable. And yes, of course, there's some deviation here and there. I'm not so boring. It's nothing like I'm Rain Man, you know, where I can only eat certain things or do certain things or like certain songs. It's nothing that severe. But it's just my routine. My routine falls into just that, a routine. So that big shakeup was obviously the first sign something was wrong. I don't remember doing it at all. And then apparently my family could not reach me. For 72 hours, they tried to contact me on my phone. 24 hours, no big deal. That's happened before. My phone dies, something weird happens. That happens to everyone. That's not a big deal. But 72 hours, no one could reach me. And when people would knock at my door, they'd hear my dog bark, but I would not come to the door. So eventually, my family came in. That is to say, actually, my nurse came in, finally. She had got the key to the apartment and came in and then found me on my balcony just staring at the cityscape. Looking at all the buildings, which is something I do. I like my view, so I like to relax out there and just chill. But I was standing out there, and I was not even acknowledging that there was another person in my home calling to me. I was completely, it seemed, disassociated from reality. So they were fearful of leaving me home alone like that, especially with my dog who needed care. So my family paid for 24-hour supervision with a live-in nurse to come in and watch me. And they covered that for, I believe they said, 3 days. They paid for three different nurses, 24-hour care, which is astronomical. It breaks my heart that they spent that kind of money on me because they were so worried. To do that for someone is just astronomical. It's not covered by insurance. And it really pains me still that they lost that money trying to help me. Well, the time came and went, and I was no better. So what eventually happened is, apparently, I don't remember any of this, mind you, I was transferred to a nursing home for 24-hour care. A nursing home. It was some point shortly after my arrival there where my mind started to come back to me, because I was just so displeasured that I was in that facility. I'm in my 40s. I was in a facility where I was less than half the age of the next youngest individual in that facility, or patient-wise at least. And being there was an incredible eye-opener for what those facilities are like. I don't know if any of you have been in one as a patient or if you put family members in them, but let me describe here in the next segment what exactly it was like and what I learned from my experience from spending just 4 days in that sort of facility. So, the nursing home. It was like I was in hell. There was a few moments where I actually considered the fact that I had actually died and gone to hell. I know, I'm an atheist. I truly don't think that hell's a real thing. But it actually crossed my mind when I was in there that maybe I was wrong and that's where I'm at. And I didn't mean that as a jovial comparison or a way to emphasize how bad it was in that facility. There was a moment or two where I seriously considered that maybe I have died and gone to hell. Thankfully, I had a single room, so there was no one else in my room, and thankfully, I managed to bring my laptop with me so I'd have something to do. Because there is a TV in the room, but I don't normally watch TV. I just don't. I have a TV in my house. I think I've turned it on 3 times or something. I don't know. So, it's just not my thing. They would serve 3 meals a day, of course, but there was no selection there. You know, when you're in the hospital, at least in the hospitals I've been in, you get a menu. You call room service and you make an order of what you want to eat. The order selection is not anything dramatic. If you've been in the hospital for a week, you've had everything on the menu. So, you know, it's nothing like a real restaurant, but there was some selection where I was. Oh, no, 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 no. There was no selection. And the final night that I was there, my dinner, and I do not kid you, was literally one corn dog. I don't remember ever in the time that I was there eating any vegetables. And I'm not like a vegan or vegetarian or something like that. I eat meat like the next guy. But when you're suddenly not having any veggies in your diet, you notice it. And I started craving vegetables of all things because I was just getting fed stuff that was just clearly microwaved. And the corn dog was just it's like a microwavable hot dog, deep fried, and it was just disgusting. This is coming from me, of course. I consider myself a foodie. Once a foodie, always a foodie. So for me, being in a facility like that, whether that's the kind of things they serve, you can see why I seriously thought I might gone to hell. So, the food was not anything that I would feed to my worst enemy. So that was lousy. In fact, well, let me back up a little bit. The other thing that was really bad, probably number two on the list apart from the food, maybe even tied with a number one place, is the boredom. Because I don't get into TV. Yeah, I had my laptop to do a few things, but I was just still bored out of my freaking mind. And at this point, my mind had completely come back. It kind of slowly but surely over the course of a day or two came around and I was me again. And so they were doing all kinds of blood work trying to figure out what happened. And I'm going to save that for the last segment related to this retreat I was on. But the boredom was brutal, so what I would do is I'd walk out of my room, and I was very lucky. The nurse's station, at least one of them, was literally right outside my door to my room. So what I would do is I'd go out there, and I'd just chat with the nurses and just harass them, just talk to them and mess with them. And if they weren't at their desk, I would switch everything around on their desk and then leave. I'd move all their water bottles. Like one nurse would have their laptop on their side, then the other nurse had their laptop on their side. And so I would switch the laptops. So once they try to log in, it kept not letting them log in until they figure out that it's the wrong laptop. I was devious. So I was bored. I was having fun with that. And I would, like I said, I'd move their water bottles, everything around on their desk, you know, just put them in weird places. I'd replace their chairs with rickety, lousy chairs and roll their other nice chairs away. And I would just do all kinds of horrible hijinks to them. So I bet the nurses were tickled pink for me to leave the facility when I was finally let out. And I was signed in for what they call a 5-day reprieve. I've never heard of such a thing. You know, I've heard of like a 72-hour hold, you know, like Baker Act things. This wasn't that. This was they call it a 5-day reprieve. Sounds Orwellian. Really does. Also, while this is going on, the new provider I switched to, the nurse was for some reason going into my home and searching it for prescription drugs. She didn't find what she was looking for, but she would enter my home without me home and without my permission. So that caused a serious breach of trust, as far as I'm concerned, with that new provider. So I was very displeased with this provider, just for that alone. And my nurse there, frankly, was a raging narcissist. So throw all that onto the nursing home. And I was not a happy camper. I was not a very cheerful man. But they did let me out, thankfully, because I really pushed it and forced it on them on day 4 instead of 5, because I was ready to get the H-E double hockey stick out of there. I would have old people following me into my room, shuffling around, barely moving, looking like zombies, mouths gaped open. And I'd have to corral them and push them out of my room and stuff. It was bad. It was so bad. So, my mind came back, and on day 4, I bounced. All right? Went home. Nothing like that has happened since. Of course, nothing like that happened before. But then that brings us to the mystery of the ages, which is What happened in the first place? What caused this episode, this bizarre event? Blood work was done. Theories were bounced around. And I'll share some of those findings and some of those theories here in the next segment. So they did blood work. They had theories. They're trying to figure out what happened. Lots of theories I heard were bounced around. Was it a series of mini strokes? So, therefore, I was put on a stroke watch. That never happened. And I think they ruled out mini strokes. Was it a cardiac event that somehow prevented blood flow to the brain? Obviously, I have major cardiac issues. That's why I'm in hospice in the first place. So that sounded like a potential explanation. But there's nothing with respect to that they could prove or demonstrate through tests. The one thing they found that I remember in the blood was that my CO2 levels were very, very high. So, the theory at hand was that I was on such a high flow of oxygen, 16 liters, mind you, or it's like basically a sandblaster being shoved up my nose 24/7, that my body, my brain basically said, oh, well, I got tons of oxygen, so I'm going to start hanging on to the CO2 to balance things out. And what instead happened was, of course, it's the CO2 slowly poisoned my brain. That was one theory. And it was demonstrated in blood work that, yes, I did have a high, very high CO2 level. So they drastically reduced the oxygen flow and did more blood work, and the CO2 level was demonstrably going back down. So that's one theory that I think is still the best contender, but they don't really know. They don't really know what the cause was. And according to the doctor, they may never know. Obviously, it was not something that I took. I didn't take a bunch of pills. When I got home, all of my medications were there. That is, any mind-altering stuff. I do have opiates for pain at home, but they were all there. They weren't touched. 100% of them were accounted for at home. And I kind of wish I got home and there was an empty bottle of Tito's on the kitchen counter or something, because then I could go, aha, I know what I did. Now I know. I got sloppy drunk. That's what happened. Oh, whew. I know not to do that again. What a relief. It would be a relief to know that that's what caused it. It would be a relief to know whatever it was is what caused it. But all we have are some little theories, with one in particular, the CO2 one, which seems the most likely and seems reflected in the blood work, but at the end of the day, the true answer is they don't know what caused it. And that, my friends, is why it's so terrifying. That's why it's so terrifying to me now, having fully recovered from this. I'm back to my normal self. I know who I am. I mean, there was a period of time I didn't know who I was. Literally, I did. They asked me, do I know my name? And I didn't have a way to tell them. I was gone. It was just like. Phew. And not knowing what triggered that at all. I mean, yeah, like I said, we had some theories. But without being sure, without being able to say, aha, this did it. And it could be because there was a multitude of variables that led to that occurring at that time. That just happened to commingle and cause this reaction of some sort. But that's all why, to this day, fully recovered, I'm still terrified of it. Because what if it happens again? I won't know it's happening again because I'll be psychotic. I'll think I'm fine. That's the problem. I won't be able to tell that it's happened again. Or is beginning to happen, however you want to look at it. And so that's why this is now probably one of my deepest fears. Forgetting even who you are as a person. I forgot my mother was deceased. I forgot my previous dog was deceased. By the way, when I was in there, my dog was taken care of by one of the therapists that worked at the new hospice service. She had a couple dogs there, and they all became good friends. So thank goodness my dog was safe and cared for in that time. So that's good. I had to throw that out there, too. He was cared for, and he was returned to me as soon as I got back. So it definitely caused some deep trauma within me. There was probably 4 or 5 days later, long after I've been home, 4 or 5 days in a row where I was basically in prolonged panic attack. And I really didn't know why. I had no reason to be that way, but I couldn't sleep. I was just stressed. Everything was bad. I think it was the trauma from that event. And I'm certain my dog, unfortunately, had some trauma from that event. His behavior's exhibited some weird things since he's been back, where he's very clingy, and you can tell he is terrified of someone taking me away again. So he's traumatized, I'm traumatized. And for those of you that maybe have a relative, a parent, an older family member, a younger family member like me, who you consider putting in a nursing home, I implore you to go there yourself and really make sure your loved one will be able to tolerate that environment. As I come to the end of this episode, first off, I apologize for the last segment ending so suddenly. I had a sudden puppy dog outburst and interruption that required me to stop everything and attend to his particular doggy needs. So I apologize for that. But I think I got my point across with respect to nursing homes and what to beware before considering that as an option for yourself or someone else. Now, in my case, I'm not sure if there were any other better options, unfortunately, despite how much I despised that environment. I cannot think of a sound alternative that would even be affordable to anyone, in my family at least. So, now though, at least, you listeners know where I've been all this time. I unfortunately was not on an extended Bahama cruise. I was not, unfortunately, trekking the Andes, picking at Inca ruins or something fun. No, nothing like that. I was held in a small facility. Actually, it was a huge facility, but in a locked down facility. And I was completely psychotic. And again, I get to face the future now, not knowing what the cause was, and just hoping that it doesn't repeat itself. I don't really have another choice. People tell me to stop dwelling on the nursing home and all those events. It's done with, it's over with, you recovered and you're home. And that's great, that's all true. But still, not knowing for sure what the cause was, I have a lot of fear, obviously. Fear that it would happen again. And I wouldn't know it. I'd be the last to know because I would be crazy. That's the problem with being crazy. You don't know you're crazy. So, I'll do the best I can to move forward. Try to overcome any trauma that may be lingering. It may last forever, I don't know. Because I don't really have any other choice, what else am I going to do? Lay in bed all day? No. Mope around the house and be miserable all day? No. My problem has always been boredom when it comes to depression. I can be sad and depressed about something for, you know, a fair amount of time. But at the end, I always overcome it because I find it so incredibly boring. So, boredom is, in a weird way, one of my greatest assets. That I convert that into some sort of action to overcome whatever stasis I may be held in, emotionally or otherwise. So I'll be sure to include that in my resume. Gets bored easily. That's one of my strong points. We'll see how a future employer likes that. Give it a whirl. Maybe I'll be surprised. But with all that being said, my friends, thank you for staying with me. Thank you for hearing my voice still in this podcast. And I most certainly hope that I will talk to you all again very soon. Auf Wiedersehen.